Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You have chosen poorly, and I'm Sebastian, and that's just in general because you're listening to the show. Anyone else, please, come on.
2 weeks in a row. For some reason, I keep thinking it goes to you next.
I can go next.
Somebody should go next.
I'll go. Nazis. I hate these guys. And I'm Alex.
So is that said in this film?
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I pulled the quote from this film.
I don't remember him saying that.
I do.
I was remembering it belongs in a museum. I know that's how I know, you know, I associate that with Indiana Jones all the time, but it that first appears in this film. But Nazis, I hate those guys.
Yeah.
No, I didn't pick up on that. I know it's the thing he says, but I thought he said that in Raiders.
Probably did it as well.
Yeah.
I think it's when they first discover that Nazis are involved, and it's like, oh, Nazis. Yes. I hate these guys.
That's right, because there's a subtle little throw-in in this one.
Yeah.
Rolls-Royce Phantom II, 4.3-litre, 30 horsepower, six-cylinder engine with Stromberg downdraft carburetor, can go from 0 to 100 kilometers per hour in 12.5 seconds, and I even like the color. I'm Andy Schossler.
Son of a bitch.
Don't call me Junior. I'm Alex.
Hi, Alex. Welcome back, Alex Prime. All right. So, Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade. We forewent the cast list, but this is the one with the old Scottish angry boy in it, Sean Connery.
Mr. Universe himself.
No.
Oh, do you not know this?
Of course I don't.
Why would
I know anything about anything?
Sean Connery was Mr. Universe.
Isn't that a bodybuilding
company? Yes.
No.
Yes.
When?
Sean Connery in the 60s.
You fill air and I will Google
Sean Connery.
Clad pictures of Sean Connery.
Sean Connery along with Arnold Schwarzenegger, both Mr. Universe.
Okay, interesting.
Seriously.
Huh.
All right, someone fill. I'm Googling. I can't do this.
So how was your cinema experience with this film?
You know, this was the first Indiana Jones that I saw.
Wow, you're old.
So, no, I didn't see it in the cinema. As in, of the three original trilogies,
right?
The trilogy films, this was the first one I saw. Then Raiders, then Temple of Doom.
Okay.
And Temple of Doom is the one I like least. Last Crusade is the one I like most.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it feels exactly like Raiders.
Yeah. Yes, that immediately when I started watching this, I felt this is more Indiana Jones than, both of the films, because it's kind of updated and flows a little better,
yes.
I feel. And Temple of Doom just it was not.
it seems so weird.
It's the same character, but put in a completely different situation, doing something completely different than he's used to. Well, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
So I wasn't listening, but I assume you guys filled that with quality content.
What did you find, Seb? Yes.
Oh, no, I got
lost. Can you confirm? You got lost on your way to searching Sean Connery, Mr. Universe?
There was messages. I forgot to Google the thing. Okay, fine.
You are terrible at your job.
I wanted to bring this up because last week we did Spider-Man Far From Home.
He's tiny. I guess the standards have changed. But he's like smaller than most local wrestlers that I'm aware of.
Doesn't matter. He held the title.
Yeah, listen, the title's not worth that much when you look like that.
Doesn't matter, heads.
He's fit. He's just like, he would be in the juniors.
But I mean, genuinely, Sean Connery, you don't think of him as an athletic, but absolutely he was an athlete. He was Mr. Universe.
Like, I'm seeing his competition photos and like, yeah, he would be in the lightweight division of a lot of, like, which is fine, I'm not saying, but like,
Seb, doesn't matter. I'm Mr. Universe, still he counts. Held the title.
Yeah, and I'm saying the title was worth less back then than it is now. Okay.
How dare you, sir?
It's true. Like, it's like a little kid ran up on the stage comparatively today.
No, he won at the inflation. From the competition.
He won, but I'm saying if he came today, they'd be like, somebody get that small child off the stage. He's embarrassing himself.
Well, how is that fair? If you got some smallpox-ridden, you know, polio-ridden child from the 1800s in here and said, right, you're so much worse than all the other children today.
It's true.
It's true.
It's objectively true.
That doesn't mean he wasn't the fastest then, and that's what counts.
I'm not saying it's not impressive. He's still much more fit than I am. I'm just saying in a modern context, I wouldn't be bringing this up.
So I wanted to mention this last week. We did do Spider-Man Far From Home. The difference in the use of comedy sort of interlaced into a film, in this one, for me, it's completely seamless. Like, it's a serious film that does have funny moments, but they're very well-woven, well-crafted, polished and refined, so that doesn't distract from the tone. As I was watching Spider-Man, every time there was a moment for comedy, you know, somebody being distracting or a bit of slapstick, it felt completely out of place, and I, you know, stopped thinking of the movie as being serious to look at, you know, analyze this moment and go, oh, okay, they're trying to do this joke or whatever, and then back into the film and building up the tone again. Whereas in this one, completely seamless. It maintains the tone all the way through. And I don't know if that's a generational thing. There are 30 years between the films. Is the way that humor is used in the Marvel films typical of Marvel or typical of this generation?
For comic book films, typical of Marvel. For films with comedy in general, it's kind of just what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a shame.
The way I would put it in the most offensive way possible is they assumed audiences were a bit smarter back when The Last Crusade came out, and now they're aware of how stupid they are today.
But no, honestly, the illusion is broken.
No, they want to clearly signpost, this is the ha-ha moment, get it, clown, like, as opposed to back then where it was just in the movie.
But I mean, films, you know...
Absolutely not. Alex is muted.
Films that have entered in as classics, you know, we don't look back at them now and go, oh, I don't get it. You know, I don't understand why it was a classic. No, it's very well understood. That's exactly why it was good, because it was good. It has survived this long. You're still watching it now because it's good, not because it has some sort of mystique about it. But I genuinely can't think of a film in the last 10 years that I think is going to carry on a legacy.
Oh, well, that's a big question to throw at me right now in an Indiana Jones review.
Widows.
That was good. Will it be a classic, or will it just be one of those, you know, as you're looking through a list of films made in the 2010s, I remember that. That was good.
I'm going to say the ratio to good movies that we receive now is so much higher, I'd say. Like, there's so many more good movies coming out that I think things are getting lost in the shuffle. I like a lot of old movies, but also the amount of, for every 10 movies we received back when Last Crusade comes out, we're going to receive 200 right now. Like, we're getting so inundated with so many quality features and shit ones, mind you, that I feel like it's hard for anything to be like, that's a tentpole film for society at this point, because Oh, it was really good, but now I'm distracted by the next shiny thing that comes through that it's hard to... Mm.
I don't know if that's necessarily true, because movie theaters aren't inundated with films. You know, there's... You go along every week and there'll be a new film for you to watch.
Is this pre-Jaws?
89, so post-Jaws. Jaws was, what, 78 or 77?
Yeah, that's right, it was 77.
Yeah. Same year as A New Hope, I think.
Interesting. I don't know. Yeah. It's a big question that I'm not willing to field today. But I think it is worth looking into, though.
There's a marked difference in how humor is used in serious films then and now.
Okay.
That's for sure.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and move us on to trivia. I know we're on a bit of a tight schedule today. Sorry, people listening. Deal with it. It's happening.
That's my fault.
It is exactly Andrew's fault. Let's all point the finger and blame him.
Riddle me this. Riddle me that. Who's afraid of the big black bat?
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my butthole.
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
I thought for a second that you'd press the button twice.
I sure did, and beamed twice, and nothing else happened.
And that we were going to listen to a 1 second delayed version of that whole thing.
Honestly, I thought so too. I don't know why that didn't happen, because when you do hit the buttons multiple times, you do get overlay. It just didn't happen that time.
Let's test it.
Maybe there's a built-in when you press it too quickly that it just replaces. I don't know. Who knows?
Or if you press the same button.
No, because that's what you can, I don't know.
Because I don't think you can overlay the same button.
Who knows? We'll find out later when I'm not recording.
Well, budget of $48 million, so pretty high.
Wow.
For a film in the late 80s.
I wish I had a budget of $48 million.
But deserved, because Spielberg knocked it out of the park. Worldwide gross of $197 million.
Oh, baseball.
Yes, that was. You know what else is American? This movie and baseball
apple
together.
High.
Apple pie, man. Yeah. Mm. All right.
Also another American thing.
I did have some...
Who would have thought Indiana Jones was an American?
Right. Name like that.
Indiana Jones. The Spielberg's actual dog's named Indiana, right? Like that's... Or was it Lucas's
George
dog?
Lucas.
Yeah.
Lucas's
so that's
dog.
That's something of a real thing, right?
Yeah. And the name of the dog in the film at the start.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, Seb. Get on top of it.
Was that Lucas's dog, though?
No.
Probably not, because acting dogs are specifically trained to do certain things. And even then, poorly.
So there's lots of trivia.
Sometimes.
Lots of trivia.
It should be. This film's 50,000 years old.
My first trivia point. This film has lots of trivia, none that I feel like Andrew won't mention.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
The uniforms in the book burning scene... Genuine, yes. World War II surplus German uniforms.
Yeah.
Absolutely German. Not made for the film, found and used.
That were then later
exploited,
burnt.
Like the Nazis are used to. Mm. Yeah. How does that feel like, Germany?
Yeah.
In that same scene where all the extras are giving the Nazi salute, Spielberg had them with their other arm behind their back with their fingers crossed.
Yes. Good.
Just the superstitious man that he is. Yeah. And it's a Roman salute. Its origin isn't even in Germany. It's Roman.
Just like the swastika.
Yeah, that's also something that was usurped. It wasn't invented for... Mm-hmm.
Indian,
for
is it? Or Buddhist? Yes. Like that,
Japanese. Yeah.
As well.
Or Japanese.
Well, there's some connotations.
Yeah.
It's old. It's ancient. Yeah.
Not even original.
Stop me anytime, because I'll keep on rattling off trivia.
Well, you know the time restraint that we have today, so rattle on to an appropriate length, please.
We have a job to do.
Yeah, I know.
We're saying show to rattle produce. Away. Look, now we're rattling away about something else.
Now you're breaking
rattling.
The illusion, Seb.
I'm not saying that trivia is not
this
important.
Show doesn't exist in reality.
It.
No,
it. I'm just saying, you know, kill your darlings.
River Phoenix, handpicked. By Harrison Ford.
Who was he? I saw him in the credits, but I didn't see, who was he playing?
Young Indiana Jones.
That did not look like him.
Henry Jones.
I thought he did a marvelous job. And Junior. River Phoenix himself didn't model it on Harrison Ford's portrayal of Indiana, but on Harrison Ford himself, his mannerisms and how he talks and such.
I liked that they worked in the scar on the chin.
Yeah, that's a nice little, you know, a little subtle thing that they include in the origin, not the focus of the origin. And even the origin itself isn't an entire movie. It's a little 5-minute segment. that you get to enjoy and understand the character a little bit more.
But it does tick our boxes of a prequel of where did he get his hat from? Like, it did tell us where he got most of his articles of clothing from. So,
yep. Actually, I watched it with my wife, and she was she pointed out, okay, so if Indy didn't buy it new, then how old is this hat? Was it inherited from this guy? And magic exists in the Indiana Jones universe, so is the hat embedded with some mystical properties as well, that he can somehow be this, not bumbling, but he does screw up a lot of the time and still come out of it on top. Is the hat magical in some way?
Some sort of, that stupid Harry Potter potion. Some sort of
lucky charm,
Felix Felices.
That's the one. He just stumbles through history and doesn't get shanked, right?
Chill, yeah.
Well, you'll see next
week. Hattie McHactinson is the name of the hat. Okay.
You'll see how lucky he gets next week when we do Crystal Skull. The things that man survives.
Well, to be fair, there were prop hats and whips, because the real hat and whip is in the Smithsonian.
Mm, exactly right.
Trivia.
The real hat has its own trailer, I hear.
It's in a museum.
Yeah.
They've actually put it in a museum.
Yeah, it's in the Smithsonian.
It's on the space station.
Okay, well, that lies a bit much.
It's being looked after by top men.
top men.
Connery was always the first choice to play Indiana's father.
Who was the second choice?
John Pertwee, believe it or not, was one of them.
Oh.
Yeah,
third Doctor, I think.
As Doctor Who, that's exactly right. Gregory Peck was also, I don't know.
Walter Peck. Sorry. Is he related to Walter Peck? Because I will get that name.
Gregory Peck is a bit before my time. I don't know what he is, if he's famous for one specific character. Nothing really sprang to mind.
But Walter Peck or Gregory Peck?
Gregory Peck.
Okay, sorry.
Gregory Peck, who appears as the guy.
Ah, that one.
In one of my favorite Danny DeVito films, Other People's Money. He plays the traditional guy who, you know, is trying to save his company. And Danny DeVito is saying, no, the industry is dead. Let's at least sell it and get some money and not kill ourselves more.
He was in To Kill a Mockingbird and Cape Fear, both films I have seen or heard of. So that's nice.
But not necessarily known for a character. Well, anyway, Connery was specifically chosen as Indy's father so that they could have the inside joke that James Bond is Indy's father.
Yeah.
And it works. Oh,
yeah, he plays Atticus Finch in Mockingbird.
All right, okay.
That's a big role.
Yeah. Big role, but not a well-known character.
He was in The Omen.
He wasn't in this film.
He was in a lot of things.
Yeah, out of all the films he was in, this was not one of them.
And Ford and Connery both passed on several projects when they could have been working together. Oh. Harrison Ford declined the role of Jack Ryan in Hunt for Red October, which went to Alec Baldwin. He did a fine job. And then Ford ended up playing Jack Ryan in Patriot Games anyway.
Yep.
Yeah. And all those other films where he was playing the same guy.
And was Harrison Ford also meant to be in The Rock and then decided not to do it?
Possibly. Sean Connery declined reprising his role as Henry Sr. in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Good move.
Yeah, I think they went the right way on that one.
Although if he was in it, maybe they would have got rid of the other kid. They would have just gone two generations, not three.
Possibly. Yeah. I think Shia was a good part of that film. Like, the film was a bit crap, but we'll talk about that one.
I've got to rewatch it, honestly. I have no memory apart from not liking it, so.
And both Ford and Connery passed on playing Alan Grant and John Hammond, respectively, in Jurassic Park. I can see Connery as John Hammond.
Yeah.
I think Attenborough, you know, just is John Hammond now, but he could have pulled it off. And Harrison Ford as Jeff Goldblum's character, we would have lost all those memes, all those wonderful memes.
Yeah.
But we probably would have had some new ones. Okay. And maybe we'd take Jurassic Park a little bit more seriously if Harrison Ford was in it.
I think they should make a good movie and then we'll take it seriously. The original ones are original. I actually like Lost World, but number one and two are fine. Not a good film.
It's always an interesting speculation on whether if films had been recast, or cast differently, would they have been as popular? Not necessarily more popular. Would Jurassic Park have been as big as it was if Ford and Connery were in it? Or would have it just been one of those films that, you know, seemed like a good idea, but didn't quite make it into the culture.
Now, guys, I understand you, somebody at the table probably has more trivia.
Oh, there's more.
But I'm looking at the clock and I'm saying we're moving to movie babies.
All right. In the Zeppelin scene,
Oh, my goodness.
Last one. In the Zeppelin scene, neither Sean Connery or Harrison Ford are wearing pants. Because it was so hot in the studio, they didn't want to sweat on camera.
Oh, okay. I was like, why?
No, they're not wearing pants. Just in that just whole scene. The whole father-son moment? Yeah. Pantsless.
All right. Well, movie babies it is.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. Yeah.
So one more bit of trivia.
My God.
No, I'm kidding.
Mechanical rats.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. That's a bit of trivia.
There you go.
Actually, there were 2,000 rats specifically bred for the film because using other rats would have meant they were diseased and having them in the water would have exposed people to all sorts of horrible diseases.
I did wonder in that film how they got the rats back because there was rats running everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I just picture a studio somewhere that's just now infested with rats.
Just a big wheel of cheese.
The 80s, yeah.
I think like you just go, hey, our studio is so full of a man that owns studios. Can we borrow one of your sets just for the day? And they're like, of course, my studio friend, you can. And that's where you film the rat one. You just film it in someone else's set.
Exactly right. You know that tank scene? It was budgeted to...
Oh my God, guys, we're in movie babies and we've got about... We don't have that long left. I promise you, we do not have that long left. We've got to get into the review.
Fair enough.
I know I'm being a wet blanket, but it's just because the review will just end randomly if we don't get it done.
Just like this trivia section.
Movie babies.
Fine. I'll leave that trivia hanging then.
Yeah, that tank had trivia. Go find it yourself. Alex.
They had two versions. One was aluminium and one was real. It was only meant to take 2 days. But it took 10 days.
Okay, I know this is very funny, but the review is just going to stop at some point.
All right. I said it's like Tomb Raider and Monty Python Holy Grail.
Sure.
Yeah. I was very literal. Raiders of the Lost Ark and First Night for the Camelot.
Perfect. A Highlander and Jurassic Park, whatever. I'm just naming movies because we have to go. Okay.
All right. I had the Three Stooges just for the physical comedy.
Yep.
The Da Vinci Code because of the Christ theme. Of
course. Perfect. First time. Nailed it. Tweets.
And today I'm going to read it to you.
Is it got any sports in it?
Are you kidding? Fencing.
Oh my God, hurry up. This is such a long bit.
Giants, monsters.
Good, it's gone. Okay, we're back. It's fine. Somebody do a tweet.
Two guys, a girl in a holy place. And Nazis. Hashtag see the museum.
Oh my God. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Alex?
There's this cup and a bunch of guys who want it, but only Indy can have it. And Sean Connery.
Oh my God, two guys, one cup.
Alex Prime.
Father-son bonding trip ends in drinking session. Hashtag sportsman's double.
Accurate.
So. Are we all just going to gloss over the fact that he rooted the same chick as his dad days after?
That's the sportsman's double.
Oh, weird, man. Okay, good or bad first?
You didn't do yours.
That was me.
Doesn't matter. There's no bad.
Well, we're going to do bad first, then quickly, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Houston, we have a problem.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
I can't believe you've done this.
Alex just gave me the look because he looked at his clock and saw how much time we have left. And it's now who's not crazy? Me. I'm not crazy. All right.
Still a little bit crazy.
Yes, but I'm funneling it into productivity. All right, the bad. Listen, it's fine. It's a good movie. Next. Anyone have any bad?
I don't think it has any flaws. Like there's no point in the film where I'm watching it anyway and I think, oh, you know, this could be different or this is dragging on a little bit. No, it's just Indiana Jones. He's moving from puzzle to puzzle and moving the story forward.
Did they explain enough about the Grail and what it does and what it what it could be, because I couldn't. I left it a little bit confused. So what does the Grail do again? You're immortal, but you can't leave the cave? Or?
Now, yeah.
No, the Grail can't leave the cave. You can leave the cave.
I was talking about this with my wife. I don't think you can leave the cave.
No, for it to have effect, you have to stay in the cave. That's why Templar Knight is still there.
That's right. I think it's not explained, but I think you have to drink from it daily.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can only drink with the cup. Any water source will turn into the Fountain of Youth, but the cup cannot leave the temple. So for you to have immortality, you also cannot leave the temple. That's the price you pay.
Yes. So in the Knight stories, the two brothers leave and one of them dies and then one dies after.
That's exactly. They die very old, but they do die.
Like 150 plus?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were given extended life outside of the cave, but the fact that they weren't able to continuously drink means that they get caught up with them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you can leave the cave. Like Indy's probably going to live a little bit longer from having drunk from it, but he won't be immortal.
Not necessarily, because these guys could have been, 150 years old when they left the cave and not survive for very long afterwards. Just that their body doesn't decay when they're inside, but then it will, absolutely, it will begin to decay as normal once they leave.
Yep.
Once they stop drinking from the cup.
A Bilbo in the ring thing.
Yeah, exactly right. It's not explained, but I think you can read into it and it's there.
And also, biggest heel in history, Indiana Jones discovers that Jesus is real. Just keeps it to himself.
Yeah, right? Yep. Sure.
Hey, I mean, we already know. Do you want to write that down? Nah, it's fine. it doesn't matter.
I mean, he kind of proves that the Hebrew God is real in Raiders, and then the Jews were wrong.
And then next week,
Spielberg, Spielberg is telling all the Jews that they were wrong in the indie universe.
Yeah.
And maybe next week they also prove aliens exist, though, so I don't think there's any. They have no horse in this race.
All right. Oh, spoilers.
Is it, though?
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
They're also Aztecs.
Spoilers.
I think.
And Soviets.
That's true. There are Russians. Communists.
Yeah. No.
And monkeys. Yeah. But we'll get there. I'm going to move on to the food.
Fucking prairie thing.
Oh, I know.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Aiden Barr! Top of the world!
How's that for a slice of fried gold?
Yeah, boy!
All right, the good. This is the main event of what we're trying to get to in this bloody episode.
I liked the guys with the fezzes.
They were great.
Yeah, yeah.
They reminded me of...
The Mummy?
The Mummy, exactly, yes.
They reminded me of Mustafa from Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Now,
not Mustafa, the lava planet from Star Wars?
No. Okay, just making sure. Sorry, Mustafa.
Think about...
Fez was familiar.
Yes. Think about the Holy Grail lore. What are they trying to protect? Because anybody who attempts to remove the Grail from the temple will simply collapse the temple.
They're trying to prevent people from finding the temple.
Okay. Well, that raises the question of could you make it out of the temple with the cup? The temple will collapse as soon as the cup breaks the seal, but then have the cup outside? Yeah. Does it lose its power? That's right.
Probably they're trying to preserve the power then?
But to what end? Because it's already limited. The power only exists in that temple.
I just think they didn't want a Jesus artifact being taken and lost.
Okay.
I just think that would just for the sake of preserving it like they would in a museum. They just want to preserve it as is here.
And they couldn't get a jar big enough.
Whereas the Brotherhood in the Mummy, they're trying to keep people from unlocking the evil of Imhotep.
If I was terminally ill and went to the cave and drank from the cup and it cured me. When I leave the cave, does my illness come back eventually? Or am I now cured of that ailment, but obviously not like immortal?
Interesting.
Because it cures a gunshot wound by pouring it onto Henry Jones. And when he leaves the cave, the gun wound doesn't reappear.
That's right.
So I'd assume that you can use it like a doctor's office.
Gun wounds can be fatal.
Fun fact, the Republic of Hatay was a real place in 1938. So the king could genuinely have, used it as a sort of tourist place or, the healing place, and you pay your, however many denarii and off you go, you're healed.
Yeah.
It's a nice bit of trivia.
Yeah.
Don't you dare stick more trivia. I liked the
four horses in the end.
Oh my God.
Belong to the King of Jordan.
I like
gun wound.
Oh my God, guys. We're in the good. We don't have long left, I promise.
This is good. It's all gold.
The booby traps were great. Yeah. Like to get into the cave. Booby traps. I liked the. Okay, the kneeling one's curious because there was a blade that comes out of the ground.
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
That seems weird. Head level makes perfect sense, but you need to you need to pray and do rolls, I guess, as is written in the commandments.
Be ever vigilant, yeah.
The one with the spelling added of Jehovah, was it?
Yeah.
That was fine.
Just Jehovah begins with an I.
Oh, no. That was fine, basic, whatever. How I like the bridge.
How did Henry know that Indy was going to fuck up and go with J?
Because that's his go-to move. Indy fucks up all the time.
That's right. Yeah, and the bridge was absolutely genius.
So I'm just confused with the bridge because I think they changed their mind though. Was the bridge just done artistically to look like it fit in, or was it actually see-through? Because I got both mixed up.
Not see-through, no. If you like one of those illusions where you look at it from a specific angle, it just blends into the background.
But then when he throws the dust over it, it looks like it's suddenly just transparent with dust on it. Like it looked like it was invisible, which is even more confusing.
Well, not that it's invisible, it looks like whatever's behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. not that the rock from behind is being projected through it. It's that the surface of it is made to look, I mean, it's an impossible effect to recreate in the real. It's good. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't really exist that way because
it's magic.
Yeah. No.
The second you're a different height to someone,
that's
ruined.
That's exactly right. Those illusions only work from a very specific vantage point. So once we get the shot from underneath where you just see the rock bridge, you know, that it is actually there. Of course that's the way it is because you wouldn't bother creating the illusion from underneath, would you?
But effect-wise,
yes.
Really solid, really well done.
And that kind of reveal as the camera moves out and you can see that the bridge is there and then,
slide back in and it's seamless once again. Yeah, very impressive.
It's good.
I would still fall off it. I'll call that. You think I can walk in a straight line? Let me show you. Like it's the second of like how it is, you know, just like stepped like 1 foot off the edge. I would have absolutely done that.
Well, he never throws a stone off or anything to check how deep it is because it could just be a meter or two down. Again, it's just a nice painted effect. It's not actually, it is a genuine leap of faith, but nothing's going to happen to you if you fall off.
I do. I mean, the director's cut revealed that it was all just an illusion by Mysterio and he's just, he's still in the warehouse from the first Indiana Jones film where the Ark of the Covenant was sent to. Long-term heist. Now, did we work out, chronologically, we found out Temple of Doom actually takes place before Last Crusade.
Yep.
Where does this film take place?
Before Raiders.
Before Raiders again. Yeah.
This one takes place.
Oh, wait, Raiders is Raiders second is, in continuity. It's like second in timeline.
Raiders, I think, is 1936 in the lore, and this one is most definitely 1938.
Okay, so I think
there's a title sequence, 1938.
Because Temple of Doom's first. So Temple of, as in, sorry, in not in our world, canon, it's Temple of Doom, Raiders,
and then Last Crusade.
That's right. Okay. And then, very much so, Crystal Skull is 20,000 years into the future or some shit. That's not a spoiler because it's wrong, so you're fine, Alex. Oh,
but it's in the future.
It's not set in modern times, is it? But it's definitely, it's at least the 90s or
80s. It's in the 50s. It's in the 50s.
Oh, Greaser. That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
It feels, he's so much older looking though. It has to be later than the 50s.
No, because the communists are just becoming a threat and the whole McCarthyism craze happened
then
in the
late 50s. Why did he age 45 years?
Because it's Harrison Ford.
I know, but they had a choice and they still put it 10 years in the future.
Because of his magic.
Yeah, but he's only 20 years older. It's magic. Thing.
People go grey very young.
Yeah. And to be fair, you could forgive Indiana Jones for always being exploring as always looking older than he is just from the sun damage his skin would have had. So he can always look older than he actually is.
I don't want to frighten anyone. We have exactly 10 minutes left until the show just has to end due to Andrew.
Well, then we better get on it.
Yeah.
I mentioned at the start the blending of comedy into the serious thing. So in the church scene where the librarian is stamping the books and Indy needs to break the books to get through the thing. And beautiful. Just, that wonderful timing of the guy doing a stamp and then and looking at it and going on. It's funny, but it doesn't
take away from it.
Yeah, it doesn't distract you from the serious tone of what's actually going on. And modern movies don't seem to be able to replicate that or be unwilling to replicate it.
See, I would say it was the opposite. I found watching this movie, I was like, man, I do not remember these movies being this sort of slapstick comedy-ish.
Right?
Like during the fight scenes, they're quite comedic. I think he punches two guys in one punch or something like that.
And they shoots go, through three Germans on the tank.
And I haven't watched these movies in a long time since I was a young kid. And I just watched this one last night. And I was like, oh, wow, I don't remember. Yeah. It was good. I had no problems with it. But it's just
seamless,
it's different,
right?
Yeah, a different tone of movie that I remembered. I do remember them being a bit more serious. But I thought the comedy made them a little bit lighter than what I remember them.
Yeah. Probably earned that PG rating. Oh, God. Yeah. Indiana Jones is in the... is in the book burning thing, and he's been shoveled in by these journalists. He's approaching Hitler. He's got the journal, and what the, you know, I came to Berlin to get this journal back, and now Hitler's got it. Adolf Hitler, there you go. Sign the autograph. There you go, General.
I actually thought of you while watching this film for a bit, Andrew, and it was, you keep mentioning, like, Indy's surprisingly bloodthirsty character.
He is so brutal.
And his father the entire time is just like, every time he sees Indy punch him, he looks like he's in shock, because he's like, up until the moment he uses the tank to blow up an entire car full of Nazis.
This is war, damn it.
I was like, oh, it's so funny that another character's actually acknowledging, wow, my son's violent. But yeah, that so tank bloodthirsty scene was fun.
Yes.
I did enjoy it. And like, you think of how the modern version of that would have been, like the soldier that falls on the tread and gets thrown off the front.
Oh, God,
in the modern version, the tread would have come back up covered in blood or something, but they don't do that, which it's just, it's violent, but it's not in your face violence.
No, you're not reminded of the gore, which absolutely would be there in reality. Yeah.
Mm. But yeah, very fun time. Just name a favorite scene each. We're going to plow through this review, guys. This is we are phoning this one in, I promise.
I mentioned it in the Temple of Doom. I love the fake out where the three of them are looking over the cliff. Mm. The tank's just gone over. Henry is just, you know, he's realized Indy's dead and he's lost him forever. And then he climbs up the thing and looks over, looks over the side of the cliff and, brilliant fake out.
That would have been what I said. But also, after he throws the Nazi officer out of the blimp,
he says,
no ticket. Everyone starts producing.
Absolutely.
I thought that was really, really good.
See, I first saw that joke in Dogma.
Oh, yeah.
With
okay.
And Silent Bob, when they threw one of the angels off the train.
Yes.
His own line. Yeah. No ticket. So that was weird that I've seen like the aping of that rather than the original first. But yeah. Alex?
In the castle, getting Sean Connery, and he like gets through the window and then he just bashes him over the head with a vase. Why would you risk that? Why would they be coming in through the window?
Yeah. And just the fact that he mailed this book, the journal, to get it away as far as possible. Yeah. He wouldn't have the journal with him.
Actually, the kidnapping of the friend that he gave the journal to, that scene where like he runs into the shop and it's the back of the truck. Don't get me wrong, stupid plan. Can't believe it worked for them, but really fun.
But exactly reverse of what happened in Raiders, where they used the shop front to mask that they had driven the truck into the garage. So now it's used against them.
Yeah. Very good.
A nice little George Lucas rhyming thing that actually works.
And they did a couple of that. We noticed in, I can't remember what it was, but in Temple of Doom, there was, the throwback was like when the guards with the swords come out where he goes to shoot them and his gun's missing. Like then I was like, yeah. All right. I'm going to move us on to verdicts.
Very well.
Any objections? It's happening anyway.
But to be the man, you got to beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here. I'm the man.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Slap it on with the might of Zeus.
It's good. Go watch it. It's on Netflix. It's free.
Yeah, do it. Everything we know about, everything that is quintessentially Indiana Jones, I think, comes from this film. It belongs in a museum, and just his willingness to murder people, but in a righteous cause. I think that all is evidenced best in this film.
Yeah,
and it's a good movie. I really think it's the best of the three.
I would agree. The first one aged.
So you watched it for the first time?
Yes. So the first one aged. The second one didn't feel like Indiana Jones as he should be, and this one brought everything that the first one had and some, and it felt like the genuine.
Okay. Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah. Okay. So this one felt real, like the real Indiana Jones.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's
the visual effects were a lot better.
Yeah. Oh, that's certainly true.
Yes.
And fun fact, it's Spielberg's favorite.
There you go.
Of the three. Just to layer in that. That extra level of trivia there.
Because he's really pushed back on using Nazis in films. I'm surprised that he still likes this one the most. I would have thought safe bet modern day Spielberg would have just gone Temple of Doom because there's just no mention of the Germans at all. It's interesting.
Yeah, align with the heart-ripping, heart-worshipping Aztecs instead.
They were Indian,
they
right?
They were, but I can't break that thinking that they're Aztecs. I don't know why.
Just like the next villains are Aztec aliens. Anyway, Alex Prime.
Yes, definitely go see it. I think these movies are classics and they're classics for a reason. I think it highlighted to me when I was trying to think of movie babies, how much they've been ripped off and parodied and borrowed from and stuff like that. Yeah. These are the parents.
The parents, exactly
for
right.
For the future movie babies. But yeah, no, all decent movies. I think The Last Crusade is probably the second best one. I liked Raiders of the Lost Ark a little bit better.
Okay.
But they're still right up there. Definitely recommend go watching them. And it's free on Netflix, like you said.
Yeah. Okay, so
as long as you subscribe to Netflix. Subscribe to Netflix.
Yeah. We've got like 2 minutes left, guys. If you had to rank the three originals you've seen, so where would you place them, Alex Prime?
I'd go Raiders of the Lost Ark, Last Crusade, and Temple of Doom.
Yep. I'd swap the first two. Last Crusade, Raiders, Doom.
Yep.
Yeah, I already told you mine.
I wasn't listening. Sorry. So sorry.
Well, the audience knows.
Excellent. Last Crusade, Temple of Doom, Raiders. I think Raiders is not bad. I think it was the weakest of the bunch for some reason.
Interesting.
I think just age-wise, it doesn't feel as crisp. Like they were still kind of working out how do we Indiana Jones? Yeah. And I feel like by the second and the third one, they really got like, no, this is how it should be.
That's funny because I think of Temple of Doom as the least Indiana Jones of all of them.
I really enjoyed it this time around. But if you had asked me before we had rewatched it, I would have agreed with you. But this time around, it just hit me in the right spot.
I enjoyed it more than I ever have. Mm. On the most recent rewatching, that is true.
Okay, we have 1 minute left. Socials, go, attack.
Instagram, that's Second Take Podcast, and tweet us at Second Take TNC.
Well, where do I live if I'm tweeting you?
In the future.
Oh my God.
Facebook.com/Second Take.
Send us an email at secondtakepodcast@gmail.com or go to secondtakepodcast.com for our entire backlog of stuff. Thank you very much, Alex Prime, for joining us once again.
Yes, thank you.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you, gentlemen.
And just the fact that I get to call Alex Prime in front of Alex, that's enough. That's enough for me. I'm happy. Thank you very much.
So, what should I listen to now?
We are Castology. This is our podcast about podcasts. We are your castologists, Patrick Shearer,
Liz Best,
and Zainzi Weber.
Each week, we'll bring you three of the best and sometimes not so best podcasts around. We'll also do the hard work and trawl the RSS feeds to find the newest podcast that should be on your radar.
And then next week, we come back and tell you what we thought of the recommendations and bring three new sparkling podcasts to check out.
Now, will we always agree with each other's picks?
Probably not. But hey, you're clever. You know that's how reviews work.
We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcatcher of your choice.
That's Not Kind of Productions podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.